Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. I'm going to ask Mrs. Foster first and foremost, how much longer does school continue? This Friday. That means that I'm not going to be able to get Jonah finished before the end of term. So we'll have to anchor our studies. And if the Lord enables me to come back again in September, we'll be taking up the studies again then. But in the meantime, we're going to turn to a new chapter. It's chapter 3 of Jonah. Chapter 3. And we're going to read some verses from chapter 3 of Jonah. If you would carefully follow in your Bible as I begin to read. Verse 1 of Jonah, chapter 3 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. That means it took you 3 days to walk across it. I think that's what that means. That was a big city. It wouldn't take you 3 days to walk through Enniskillen. Why, half an hour? Well, no. That'd be an hour, or even two, from the outskirts on one side to the outskirts of it on the other side. But it took 3 days for you to walk from the edge of Nineveh to the far edge of this great city. So it was indeed a great city. And verse 4 says, "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried. As he journeyed through it, he preached." He held open-air meetings. That's what I want you to envisage. You know what it is to have an open-air. The church here have been holding open-airs following the evening service on the Lord's Day, as the weather has permitted, down in Kilskerry. And for a short time, there has been a gathering of you all down there on the village green, and there has been a proclaiming of the word of the Lord. So I want you to just think of Jonah doing that. Well, he would have been on his own, of course. He would have liked you to have been there, for Christians always have liked company when they have been seeking to serve the Lord and speak for him. But Jonah didn't have any company. He did it all on his own. And we're told his message there in the verse 4. Look at it. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried." Every word given of God is important. It doesn't say, "and he said," but it said, "he cried." That is, he raised his voice, shouted it out. He didn't have a loudspeaker or a microphone in those days, but he used the volume of his voice as God had given him to the very highest level. I like to watch an event that is annual. It takes place on the public birthday of Her Majesty the Queen. It's called Trooping the Colour. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen it, but the regiment that is on duty in the guarding of Her Majesty goes through a military ceremony in which they bring the colours of the regiment before the Queen, as it were, and there is a lot of marching. And I've always noticed that there's a sergeant major there who shouts out the command. Now, he's addressing quite a number of men, some hundreds of men, covering quite an area. And he has a great voice. He doesn't use a microphone or anything like that. But he opens his mouth and he shouts out his command, and all the soldiers can hear him very clearly. It's good to have a loud voice as a preacher. And you're probably thinking, "Well, you have a loud voice. We have heard it." Well, that's true. I remember on one occasion being in the church where the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached. Well, it's not quite the same church, because that church was burned, and then again I think it was damaged by German bombing in the Second World War. and it was repaired and rebuilt and so forth. So it's not quite the same church building, but it's on the same place where the great C.H. Spurgeon preached. It's a big building. And we were holding a rally there. Not me. I was just part of the congregation. Dr. Paisley was doing the preaching. And he went up into the pulpit, and they thought he would try his voice. And so he stood in the pulpit, and he quoted John 3:16. For God so loved! He quoted all of the verse. And one of those who belonged to that church said, it's all right, I'm shouting out a text. Let him keep that up for a half an hour. And an English pastor who was a brother, he's now in heaven, he turned to him and said, listen, that man could keep that up for 3 hours without any trouble. So it's good to have a loud voice if you're going to preach the gospel. And I feel that old Jonah must have had a good voice. And he learned to use his voice. Now that's important, because you can probably speak much louder than you think you're capable of. But you have to learn how to use your voice. All the athletes of the world have various physical attributes. They can run, they can jump, etc., etc. But they have to learn how to use the gifts that they have, the physical gifts that they have. When they first started to run, they couldn't run quite as fast as they could after they practiced and trained the muscles, etc. And it's the same with the preacher's voice. I remember when I started preaching, because I used to shout, I used to find my throat strained and hurting as a result of my shouting. And I was advised to go to see a little old Christian lady who belonged to Dr. Paisley's congregation. She taught elocution. Do you know what elocution is? You don't? Well, elocution is the art of proper speaking. How to enunciate your words correctly. I went once. I was a wee bit embarrassed to have to confess. It seemed such an unmanly thing for an Ulster young fella to be doing, going to learn how to speak. Well, I wasn't going there to change my accent, but I was going there with this problem of hurting my throat, straining my throat as I preach. And I'll tell you how I learned. She said to me, I'm trying just to remember what it was exactly she gave me to recite. I'm not quite sure, but I think it was the scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. So she said, repeat that. So I did. Now she said, pitch it up a bit. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. That's good. Now pitch it up even higher. No, I'm not going to do it, because I'd be squeaking and squealing. But I did it for her. And she said, do you notice that each time you pitch your voice higher, you are speaking more and more to the front of your mouth? You're not forming your words away back at the back of your mouth in your throat, which is what I used to do. And that's why my throat was being strained as I preached. Because when you raise your voice and begin to shout, there's quite a bit of activity goes on in your mouth. And the air comes up out of your throat at quite a rate, and your throat muscles are being exercised quite strenuously. So I found the secret was to speak from your teeth.
Not away down here.
But out here. And I didn't have any problem raising my voice. I didn't strain my voice. That's why I only went to that little lady's house for one lesson. Because that little exercise she put me through showed me the secret. And I didn't have to come back. So I began from then on to pointedly speak from the front of my mouth. And I could shout without straining my voice in the least. Now, how did we get onto this subject when we're talking about Jonah? Oh, yes! It says Jonah cried. What did he cry? Verse 4, Jonah cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. We'll stop there. Now, boys and girls, I'll get to the study of Jonah. I give you a sort of an elocution lesson there, which if any of you ever try to preach, I hope you remember. And anyone who's engaged in public speaking, that's a thing to remember. And I look back on my life, it's wonderful how the Lord took me by the hand and led me here and led me there, and I picked up this bit of knowledge and that bit of knowledge, and the Lord was kind. Oh, I know, I mightn't have much knowledge now, but I picked up quite a bit, which shows you I had very little knowledge when I started. But let's consider this morning quickly the message that God gave to Jonah. There's a whole lot of things I could say about those opening verses. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. How kind is God? God could have thrown Jonah on the scrap heap and said, you failed me. That's it. I'm finished with you. You're done. You're no good to me. He could have said that. But he didn't. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. And it was the same word that God gave to Jonah when he first spoke to him. You only have to look at chapter 1, verse 1, 2. How kind is God, boys and girls? There's none of us, when somebody fails us, lets us down completely, ever take the same attitude toward them in the future. We sort of always look at them and say, they let me down. They'll not do that again. And we hold that against them. How merciful is God? He doesn't hold it against poor old Jonah. But he gives him a second chance. I have a feeling we'll look more at this, but let's notice the message that Jonah was given to preach. What was it? Well, it's a short one. Verse 4. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was it. You know, the message of God is not complicated, boys and girls. People like to make it complicated. Just in recent days, I was dealing with the writings of a lady who was trying to give out that she knew what God's message was, and you could hardly follow what it was she was talking about. But I'll guarantee there was nobody there in Nineveh when they heard Jonah speak, went away and said, what's he talking about? They knew. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Made it come as a bit of a shock to a lot of them. Because this was a big city, high walls, well guarded, plenty of soldiers, all the rest of it. Overthrown? Sure, we're as safe as houses, as the saying goes. But God was saying, I'm going to overthrow it. No difficulty understanding. It was a message of judgment. It's a message of judgment. Do you know that that is the very heart of the gospel? What's the very heart of the gospel? The first thing God wants you to know, judgment is coming. That's the first thing he wants you to know. I was thinking how that when you read the words, the opening words of John the Baptist, what's his opening words about? The wrath of God. The wrath of God. That's his first words recorded in the Bible. The wrath of God. That's what he's talking about. The first words of God to Adam and Eve after they fell into sin. The first word, judgment. He wanted them to know judgment is coming as a result of what you have just done. Boys and girls, God wants you to know judgment is coming. It's coming. We can go outside, and on most days we could look up into the sky, and we could see away on the horizon a dark cloud. And we would know, there's a shower of rain coming. You mightn't take any notice of it, but your mum, when she's thinking of hanging out washing, she has a wee look to see. Because she doesn't want to hang it out and then have it rained on. So she looks and says, no dark clouds, great, it's going to be dry for a while. Boys and girls, God wants you to know there's a dark cloud coming. Judgment. And that's what he sent Jonah to preach. Judgment. Now, it wasn't just a message of judgment. Because they would have come to Jonah and said, you're telling us the judgment is coming, we believe you. Now what should we do? Then he began to give them other instructions. God's message is not just judgment. There's mercy there as well. Indeed, if you think about it, it was a mercy for God to tell them judgment's coming. He could have let them go on in ignorance and be overtaken by judgment without any warning. It was a mercy for Jonah to say judgment is coming. Sometimes when we're driving down a country road, we meet a car and it flashes its lights at us. And if you're a driver, you know, he's warning me about something. And sure enough, when you go round the next corner, there's a herd of cows on the road. Which, if that person hadn't, in mercy, warned you about, you would have run into them. And there would have been an accident. God's flashing us with the lights of the gospel and saying, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. That's the thing we need to hear first and foremost, boys and girls. If we not listen to anything else God has to say, if we don't first of all hear that judgment is coming and believe it. Do any of you today plan to go to the doctor? No. You say, why would I go to the doctor? I feel great. That's right. You feel great. But if you felt sick, your mum or your dad would be planning to take you to the doctor or consult him or her some way or other. And it's not until we realize we're sinners and because of that judgment is coming that we will listen to God. Nineveh had to be told there's judgment coming before Nineveh would be ready to listen to what Jonah had to say about what they should do in the light of this truth. So that was the message he had to preach. I better get on. There's another couple of points I want to make, and I'll make them very quickly. You'll notice it was a message spoken with certainty. There were no maybes or mights or perhapses in what he said. He didn't say, Nineveh, there's a good chance judgment is coming. Nineveh, perhaps judgment is going to come. Nineveh, I've got to tell you the judgment might come. No, he didn't say that. Look at what he said, verse 4. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He gave them a date. He told them when it was coming. That is how certain is the message of God, boys and girls. Now, God doesn't often reveal the time his judgment will come. He certainly doesn't tell us when it is that the great day of wrath, spoken of in Revelation chapter 6, will come. He doesn't give us a date. But we are told in Acts chapter 17 and the verse 31 that God has appointed a day. At the beginning of our assembly, I asked, when does school end? And I was told, Friday. That's the appointed day. It's written in the diary. I'm sure you'd have it written up there. I get on my holidays on Friday. Great. You have your plans made. An appointed time. God has made an appointment, boys and girls. And if we could only see into God's diary, we'd see that he has a day set. Not just a day. He has an hour set. Not just an hour. He has the very second appointed. When Christ will return and judge sin. And that's what Jonah is displaying here. 40 days. What I'm talking about is certain and sure. And so it is, boys and girls. God's judgment is certain. People laugh at it. But they'll not laugh one day when it comes. The destruction was terrible that Jonah preached about. It says, Nineveh shall be overthrown. I'll just tell you that the Hebrew word there that is translated by the English word overthrown is the same word that's used of God's judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And the judgment of God on Sodom and Gomorrah left nothing. There was nothing to see. It was burned up. Burned up! God's judgment will be final, complete, and utter. Nineveh would be overthrown. Oh, what terrible judgment lies ahead for sin and sinners. I've already said mercy was displayed in God even telling them what a mercy that is. Well, we finally got to the end of our little study today, and I have one question. Have you done what Nineveh did? It says in verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Have you believed God's warning? Have you? Have you believed God's warning that judgment is coming, and have you run to the place of safety? When I was a wee boy, a tiny wee boy, the Second World War was on. Now, I don't remember details of it. I was only 2 when it ended. but chiefly in England during that period of war, every so often there would go up the noisy, awful, frightening noise of the air raid siren. I'm sure in your studies at some time or other you have heard that noise. You've heard a recording of it. The wail as it begins to get louder and louder and louder until the whole city knew German bombers were coming. And if you had been able to see it, you would have seen people running in every direction, looking for the shelters. Many of them ran down into the underground railway stations in London, right away down into under the surface of the city. It was safe there, the bombs wouldn't reach them. But everybody was running. Everybody was running. Have you run to the place of safety? Where is it, you say? The Lord Jesus. He's the place of safety. He's the one who provides us with safety. He pictures himself on one occasion a bit like the mother hen who shelters her chicks under her feathers. It's not so familiar now. When I was a boy, there wouldn't have been one of you here, but would have known what it was I was talking about. You would have seen it every day, the hen clucking about the yard with her little chicks. Oh, what a picture. When she'd find something to eat, she had a special clucking noise that she would make. And the little chicks maybe were scattered all over the place, but as soon as she made that clucking noise, oh, they would all run to where she was picking, and they would get a portion of what it was she had found. And if she glanced up and saw a hawk, she would cluck with a different noise. We could hardly tell the difference, but the chicks could. And as soon as she made that noise, warning, there's danger, they all run, and they got in under her feathers. And she'd spread her wings and she'd shelter them from the danger of the hawk. And I've seen it happen. And I remember when you watched for a little while and the danger passed, a little head would pop out from under the feathers and another one would pop out and they would look around them and the danger was gone and they'd all emerge. Oh, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus said, that's just like me. I provide shelter for those who feel the danger that's coming. Have you come to Jesus? Have you sought the shelter that he provides under his precious blood? Oh, I've spoken too long, but the Lord bless you richly today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to the boys and the girls. Oh, may they see the Saviour as he himself painted the picture of himself, like the mother hen sheltering the chicks. And may each boy and girl here know what it is to be sheltering under the feathers of God. We ask it, praying your blessing on the school, thanking thee for your continued supply of its every need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.